Of course, but last week some of those eyes were diverted to Tibet, where days of protests by Buddhist monks and others against Chinese rule turned violent. There were reports of monks being beaten and arrested in violent clashes with security forces. Authorities say 10 people were killed with the clashes with police, but Tibetan representatives say the number is much higher.
And there's word this morning that these protests are spreading. Many people had hoped that China's human rights record would improve when it was awarded the Olympic Games. Charles Burton is a professor of political science at Brock University. He's former economic and political counselor at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. Good morning, Professor Burton.
Good morning, Trey.
So why would China try to squelch protests now so close to the Games?
Well, they're left with no choice in the sense that the protests are going on and there are riots in the streets in Lhasa and other cities which are in the areas that Tibetans live in China. And so the Chinese have to make a response. They can't let this go on. The question is what kind of response and the degree of repression that they engage in, and whether a really violent response such as we've been seeing is necessary to put down these protests.
And do these protests have to be put down?
Well, the Tibetans are burning Chinese-owned businesses, and so I think that from that point of view, that there's a necessity to restore order. Chinese are really left with no choice, but of course if the Chinese had not engaged in such repressive policies in Tibet, causing such deep resentments among the Tibetans, this sort of thing wouldn't be going on.
Does China care about how the world sees it leading up to the Olympics in Beijing?
Oh, I think China does care about how the world sees it. There's no question about that, and they've been trying to suppress the information from getting out, both abroad and within China, so there's a block on the cell phones and internet in Lhasa and the other Tibetan regions, and Chinese citizens themselves are not able to get much information about this. I think the images of Chinese military and riot police and tanks and armed personnel carriers are just too reminiscent of June 1989, and this is certainly something the Chinese didn't want to have associated with them in the run-up to the Olympics.
What do your sources tell you about how things are in Tibet right now, today?
Well, I think that the situation is ongoing. The big question is what's going to happen at noon our time, which is the deadline that the Chinese government has set for the Tibetan protesters to give themselves in and cease their protests. That's really the crunch time. And if the Chinese government engages in a very repressive campaign of violence against the Tibetans at that time, it will really leave the foreign community and even China domestically with a very negative impression, which could impact on our attitude towards participation in the Olympic Games.
Now, those who are protesting in Tibet, they're aware that the world is watching and are taking advantage of that kind of attention, are they?
I would think that there must be some connection. You know, for example, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, will be in Dharamsala meeting the Dalai Lama on Thursday. And one can't help but think that it's a question of, you know, this is a good opportunity to engage in activities that will draw the attention of the world to their cause. But that being said, they do have a valid cause, because there is, in fact, a great suppression of their religion and culture being undertaken by the Chinese. And there's also the problem of the changing demographic balance of Tibet as more outsiders from the eastern part of China are moved in there, causing the Tibetans to become a minority in what they regard as their own country.
Depending on the degree of repression, what are some of the countries in the world prepared to do in light of the Beijing Olympics? Do you get the sense that some are prepared to, like Steven Spielberg, say, I'm not going to be involved in them?
Well, the Australians have already indicated that they're not planning to boycott, so they've made a statement to this effect already. I think that if there was a partial boycott against the Olympics, it would cause the Chinese government and the Chinese people to feel a great deal of resentment towards the West for leading to this kind of humiliation. And it could lead to Chinese retaliation. For example, the Chinese hold a very large amount of U.S. Debt denominated in U.S. Treasury bonds. If they were to decide to convert those to euros, it would be devastating for the entire North American economy. So the situation, because of our economies being so linked, is that any kind of action that goes on between us and China could, in fact, impact on Canadian prosperity, and that's a very high price to pay.
What role can Canada play in this human rights situation?
Well, I think we should be frank and transparent to China with our concerns. I don't think that we ought to be holding our tongues because we're concerned that this might affect our trade balance with China. There's no evidence that that's the case, but I think that there has been some notion that we should, you know, walk softly with them. I think that that we should pressure them through the United Nations. And certainly, you know, I think that, that we should consider appropriate actions to sanction the regime. You know, the kinds of things that can be done, for example, might be to not welcome Chinese officials to Canada or not participate in celebratory activities relating to Canada-China relations. But the bottom line is that, you know, we don't have a great deal of leverage to pressure the Chinese government at this time because China is a very powerful and important country in the world. So, you know, we're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place on this one.
Professor Burton, thanks for your time on this morning.
Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Charles Burton, professor of political science at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario.
16 minutes now ahead of 7 o'clock. This is Information Radio, and we have a response to our question of the day this morning. We'll get to that in just a moment.